episode 26, Underground Espionage. Tara, you ready to stand by for action?
Mike, I just had a bit of action myself, a little oral action.
Hey, hey, hey! I
had a fruit riot right before we went on, and boy, it was sour!
Yeah, sour, frozen fruit type thing. I had one too.
It was good. I didn't give you one of the grapes. The grapes make me cry. They are frozen grapes covered in citric acid. My mouth is watering thinking about them right now.
All this oral
so
talk is
sour.
You know,
big oral action right there.
I might
there.
Have to just stop
big
this episode.
Oral
but you know
action,
what, everybody?
Frozen fruit.
Thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you
sour
next week.
Sour balls. It's all fantastic. Fruit riot.
Well, I hope everyone.
Recommend it if you like a little thrill. I'll stop talking over you now.
I hope everyone enjoyed our interview with Tim Ritter. That was we were very excited to have that conversation and excited to have him back on again. You know, we already talked about like we should do it again. So I'd
he's
love
fantastic.
To, yeah, I'd love to have, you know, guests can, you know, come back on, talk more things, loose convo type stuff. So very excited we got to do that. If for whatever reason you're tuning into this and haven't listened to last week's episode,
go back. The man is an icon.
And do it. And yeah, we got another interview lined up. I never like to announce the interviews because you never know technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Except a last minute scheduling thing. But if all goes according to plan,
we may record an entire interview and find out it didn't record.
Which has not happened. Knock on everything. But
we've had him drop out and start over.
Yeah. That did happen on Noise Extra. We did do a complete redo of an interview.
And we had somebody whose mic didn't work, so we had to pull it out of the other mics. We've had technical difficulties. Put them out of your mind.
We've had them. But yeah, if all goes according to plan, another interview for next week. What else in news? Tara, hope everyone is picking up their copy of the reissue of Death Pile GR.
Oh my God, that's gone now, it's too late already.
Well,
but you
there's
can
other
just
versions,
enjoy it.
CD,
come look at your friends.
Regular LP, of course we grab that. Picture disc. Hope everyone's grabbing their tickets to New York in October. It's coming up.
I'm so excited. I know it's coming up.
It is coming up, so we are excited to be there.
No, it's like so close that right now I have to like choose selectively when I'm dyeing my hair so I get the timing right so I get a freshie on the way to New York. And I really need to dye my hair today because if I have to look at that stupid hair dye box sitting over there, what's it say, Mike?
I can't read it from
it says,
here, even though I
really?
Have. Really? Well, yeah, it's pretty blurry from here.
Oh, wow. It's pretty clear to me. Well, you're an up-close seer, and I'm a far-away seer. It says, confident is the new beautiful.
Oh, boy.
And I can't stop. Like, I'm going to sprain my eyes. I'm going to actually need eyeballs.
Maybe
because mine will have rolled so far down the street from reading that shit over and over and over again.
Maybe it's like, maybe my eyes won't allow me to read such trash.
I know. Confidence, new beautiful. I dye my hair so that I feel confident. I don't
Is that why
do,
you
it.
Do it.
Yeah, I don't do it because other people look at me.
Yeah,
I do it because I know.
It's only for you.
Because I want to know that it looks like a certain way.
It's the only
just
reason
for me.
Anyone
it's the
should
only
do anything,
it.
Tara, is only for themselves,
That's
right?
True. Just it's the only reason you should do anything. Just only do it for yourself.
Don't ever do
anything for anyone else.
No.
Never.
What a terrible.
Why would you do that?
No, absolutely. We obviously feel the exact.
Why opposite. Would you dye your hair a pretty color? Because you like when you see pretty colors on hair. That's why I dye my hair. I'm like, oh, that's pretty.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pleasant. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So, no, that's it. We are definitely excited. It's kind of going to be the main focus for us leading up to that for sure. And gearing up for that and been working on a bunch of other stuff. So it is going to be a busy fall.
We've been recording so much.
Yes. Yeah. So some new stuff should be coming out soon. But yeah, it's got a busy fall here. But I'm into it. I'm excited. I'm ready to just really hunker down, record, and gear up for New York. Tara, do you have some news for the listeners of Underground Espionage and for your co-host, me?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hot news week. So, we have discussed, Mike, the true, a true sport. We're as fans of wrestling, that is a pure sport. The other pure sport apparently that I follow now, which would be competitive hot dog eating. I thought
it was going to be water sports. I guess I didn't.
No, I have more hot dog news.
Give it to us, Tara.
So when we are talking about like the classic, let's say if we were going to do a bit, given our interests of hot dogs, maybe the bit would be like, why do I get buns and six packs and hot dogs come in eight? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
gotcha. That's your Seinfeld. Extra hot? Yeah, I gotcha.
Oh, that was Seinfeld. You're right. That's me being a comedian. Gotcha. So
it was hilarious.
The
Everyone
classic hot dog bit. You're welcome, world. I'm glad you got a chuckle out of classic hot dog bit. So I did have to look into it and look for an article about why hot dogs come in different size packages than buns. And why would you think that, Mike?
I have no idea.
I mean, it makes total sense because it's all about equipment standardization and packaging efficiency and that sort of thing. So basically, hot dogs weigh approximately 1.6 ounces. So it's going to take about 10 hot dogs to get to a pound. So from a meat packaging perspective, you're packaging in 12 or 16 ounce containers. So you're going to do 8 or 10.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like you're doing.
Or like four doubles.
Yeah, because usually you're trying to hit that 16 ounce, you're trying to hit that 12 ounce. You need to hit like that standardized weight that makes sense. You're not going to be like 14.3 ounces of meat because meat is done by weight, right? So from a hot dog perspective, that is why, given the size, that's why when we get the fatter hot dogs, sometimes there's five in a pack, which is annoying as shit. That five pack of hot dogs is weird. However, when you are baking, you have clusters of pans, and in general, the pans are six long or four long, right? So you take two pans that are four long and you put them in a package together, so you get an eight pack for the small hot dog buns, or like the wonderful brioche buns such as we love, it would be six long in the entire pan across the oven, which is a standardized oven width. So it's just pragmatic. Isn't that boring?
This is not malicious. This is the kind of information people come to
not
this podcast for.
Malicious, but it's like, but it's the type of thing where you're like, all right, I accept it. But there were companies that have come out like working together. Hold on, who was it? Let's see. Well, I don't know. It's some normal like Wonder Bread worked in. Yes, Heinz and Wonder Bread partnered together in Canada to make 10-pack hot dogs and 10-pack buns so that you had
even Steven
numbers. Isn't that just a Canadian thing to do?
Oh, yeah.
Like, for some reason, if I had seen it, I'd be like, that's nice. And then I hear that the Canadians
and
do
now
it, and
against
I'm like,
it.
Fuck you. Look, who wants your hot dog? Who will probably eat them plain? You probably don't even put anything on. You probably put mayonnaise on them.
No, with ketchup that tastes slightly different.
Their ketchup does taste different.
Yeah.
Just a little can of
everything.
There
yeah.
For everybody.
Gotta have
You're
a
welcome.
Bit.
You're welcome.
This is what people come here for. Now, Tara, that's not the news story I thought you were going to talk about because you had mentioned another news story that was very appropriate.
Screw worms on the rise?
Espionage. What?
There's the first human case of flesh-eating screw worms parasite are in the U.S. I'm excited about the screw worms.
For you, but that's not the news story. You mentioned it to me this morning, and I thought it was going to be top of the list.
Okay, fine. We can talk about the S&M priest in Louisiana.
Beautiful.
A Louisiana judge has ordered the return of the devices to ex-priest caught having sex on church altar. There were two dominatrixes called to a parish in Louisiana to film a porno. I forget what they called it. Like, they had a little thing, but they knew they would be filmed. They actually brought lighting and rigs. And
they did it. They filmed it in the church.
They filmed it on the altar.
Was the priest involved?
The priest was fucking in it.
He was in it. I didn't get too much info because I wanted to ask you about it.
Okay.
So you started telling me, I'm like, stop so we can do this live.
I need the ladies' names because
this sounds great.
Their name. Oh, Lady Vi and Empress Ming. Okay. So this is in September of 2020.
Okay, so I never even heard about this. So this is old news, but
Lady
like this
Vi.
Just
maybe only got in Louisiana.
Okay, Louisiana. I'm thinking the beyond. You know, I'm thinking like
Yeah, you're thinking a little more like austere type of a vibe.
Kind
of
like trashy though.
Walking
the beyond,
around with
you know
open beverages type of vibe.
I like it.
So Lady Vi and Empress Ming in September of 2020 were called to a Catholic church to film some adult films. And there was a light rig. There were cameras set up. Like, this wasn't like somebody recording on their cell phone, sir.
I love it.
Although he did record on his cell phone.
Hey, you want to have a little something for yourself. You
and a tablet.
I like it.
And he had memory cartridges.
Look, he was ready. He wanted it all.
So
all documented.
They performed themselves having sex on the sanctuary altar at Saints Peter and Paul Church. And some people were walking by, and they happened to see through the stained glass windows, which you can't always.
Seems pretty crazy.
But they could. Although, why were they walking by? It was full lockdown. How dare they do it? Arrest them. So,
we're coming for you.
We're coming for what? You filming? How dare you? They were staying safe.
I'm going to tattletale.
They were staying safe at home. Nobody. That was fine. They quarantined for 7 days.
I'm
going to
tattletale on them. Post 5 years later, arrest them.
Throw them
to Guantanamo Bay. They were walking around in the air.
I know. So these people were walking around in the air. They noticed They noticed some people fucking through the church windows. They took a little cell phone video of their own. You know what I mean? You hold it up to stained glass. You can see better through. So then they went to the police and they were like,
what? They were tattletales.
They were like, look, I mean, come on. Like, they might have been Catholics. Like, look, here's the thing. Like, we don't have a horse in this race.
Oh, I have a horse in this race. I'm down for this priest fucking these dominatrix. No. You kidding me? That's awesome.
But look, you haven't heard the whole story yet.
Well, that's why.
So they go to the police. They arrest the priest. And
they mask up.
Stop it. Jesus Christ. And so then, yeah. We can imagine what happened, right? So they arrest the priest. And the ladies are charged with misdemeanors and indecency. The priest is charged. I don't remember his formal charge. But they confiscated all his devices because they assumed he had done this before, right? So they took his. And this is the part, again, clearly, Mike, you were raised Catholic and you understand it better than I do. I do not understand how the Catholicism works because the vow of celibacy, the not owning property, like, I don't understand. Like, this priest had a cell phone. He had a tablet. He had a gaming system. So they took, like, his gaming system away and all these memory cards. Like, do priests play video games all
day? I don't know enough.
Like, I don't know what.
I would assume they have to. I don't know.
I
know
priests,
about the.
Like,
I know
used to have like books and stuff. I know like, about, now they just like game.
I don't know. I mean, again, I really don't know.
I don't understand what their day to day is.
Obviously,
this like.
Priest is bending some rules.
This priest
straight
is
up
clearly,
breaking them.
Well, so all of these things were confiscated during the inquest during the just trying to figure out how deep this thing went. Right. Clearly, the priest, like, whatever, resigned from his priesthood, was defrocked, whatever you want to say. But his defense was that during social distancing, he was craving personal contact and that he was lonely. So since he was so lonely during 2020,
he went full on and got some dominatrix.
He was like, well, Lady Vi is also known as Satanatrix.
Of course.
Like, Satanatrix, an Empress Ming. So he specifically, as a priest, hired a satanic dominatrix.
He wanted to go just full on.
Yeah. So I guess so. Here's my kind of like questions, like for the whole thing is like just the whole thing has a lot of there's a lot of moving parts in this story, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this should be like a 60 minutes of TV movie. We need a film about that. We need something going on about this.
Or we just need the porn.
The porn, too. Well, the porn, they deleted it. But I don't know if the ladies have film. So again, I had a lot of questions on this, so I've been trying to read about it all morning. But my thing is, was the priest legitimately losing his mind through being celibate as a priest, through 2020 going crazy? Was he like, I need to make a deal with Satan and I'm going to find these. Like, was he trying to summon Satan in all earnest? Like, was he actually trying to do something evil?
Yeah.
Or was he trying to do something fucking cheesy?
No, I don't.
That was my concern. I was like, was he like, I'm going to make a porn and market it, release it, you know, kind of like that, kind of like that shitty guy did in like releasing like porn in the halls of justice, like in Congress and shit.
No, I think
where he thinks it'll be a funny angle.
I think it's probably a case of it probably is like a thing he thought about for a long time.
He wanted to be fucked by dominatrix
for years and years and years, pent up.
Yeah,
and then when
he thought it was the end of the world,
absolutely. And then he was just going to help summon that end of the world by doing this. He probably just thought, like, oh yeah, basically, like, what do I have to lose at this point? Nothing's ever coming back. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I bet that. And then it's like, well, what can I do? I got to go for the hardest. I got to go for like satanic dominatrix again. So did he do this before? Was this his first foray?
Yeah, he only got a misdemeanor. And here's the thing.
I feel like it's a wild first four-way. I feel like, but again, maybe it built up in his mind so much.
But also, if you had never done, like, how would you know you could hire people?
See, that's what I'm saying. Was there some trial and error?
Well, this priest was clearly on the internet because they took his cell phones, tablets, computers, gaming consoles, flash drives, and there's S's on all of this. Like, it's not flash drives.
Look,
computers, memory cards. And they seized all of this while he was under investigation, and he's had to wait to have them returned.
So he's just been waiting, not being a priest.
Waiting until finally somebody, like, rules on his, hey, what about due process? You know
did
what
he,
I mean,
did he continue his porn journey or no?
He pleaded guilty to misdemeanors. Let's see here. They wiped the electronics of all data.
So sad.
Let me see here. The videos depicted a communion wine chalice being urinated in.
Wow.
Oh, so he was full on doing bad things. And then they ended up taking
good things.
Well, no, but he, look, you're looking for water power. You're looking for, you're trying to see.
I'm saying this sounds like a great idea, and I'm glad that he really tried to see it through.
Well, but I'm also saying, like, is this a case of, like, workplace malice? Because the
Why is the only one there?
But the dude was a priest, and he's supposed to, and his priesthood, like, protect the sacraments. And he's profaning them. So I guess he truly was, like, Satanist about this. Like, he was the true Satanist because he's profaning the sacraments.
Hey, I'm saying,
he's fucking on the altar. He's pissing
in
the
chalice.
I'm saying
if you're going, as we've said, make Satan evil.
And this is evil.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I like it.
He was like secretly.
This isn't Funko
desecrating
Satan.
Something that is sacred. This is not Funko Satan.
This is not baby onesie Satan. This is like, this is what I'm into.
But you can at least say that he was a shitty employee of the Catholic Church.
I mean,
really shitty employee.
I'm not here to pass that kind of judgment.
Shitty
Tara.
Employee.
Right.
You know what they did though? They took the altar out and they burned it.
Can you show me a picture of the ladies, please? Do you have that?
Oh, I don't have
Will
that.
You
but
please
I'm going to
look
it
up
right
live.
Now. Do you want to pause it? Do you think
nope,
I can do it?
I'll continue. I have to think that if he was going this hard with this, that this is not the first time he did this. But again, I guess they would have probably said, having confiscated his devices, it would have come out that he filmed more. So maybe
that's what I'm saying. Like, can he?
But
okay,
it just
let
feels
me see.
Like
let me see
this
what
is
I can
big
find.
Step for
let me
like
do a
the
little.
First.
Maybe I wasn't fully prepared. Like this is gonna have to be like a big old book report. Oh, oh, they're cute.
Let me see.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
They're
nice.
Yeah, all right.
They kind of look exactly like you would think.
Yeah,
like,
they look exactly like you
like
would think.
One of them has like Betty Page bangs and wears like leather bras.
They have tattoos.
They have like. High arching, drawn on black hair, tattoos.
They look exactly
red lips.
But you know, I'm good with that.
I think here's a femdom gangbang. I don't think that's the priest though.
Oh yeah.
They're great. I mean, they have a lot of strap-ons. They have a lot of toys. You know, they seem to be.
And look,
cool.
Hey, look, this priest is supporting women. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
Look, they're cute.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I'm on board. You know,
what are her tattoos? Oh, she has like.
I mean, she. I bet
all
got,
the tattoos you would think: roses, octopus.
Yeah, all. Of them. Hey, thumbs up.
Roses, octopus, all the things you would think.
I'm good with it. Well, you know, I have to think that this is not this priest's first rodeo.
Well,
at least
we can. I'll do a little more.
Maybe not
research.
Maybe
and then
it was his first time trying to film, but I can't imagine that that he didn't try this
Clark.
Before in private. And like I said, I bet it did have to do with thinking like, well, this is it. So might as well just do the things I've been thinking about for years now.
And also like, he had to pay them. Like, he had to pay their rate or yeah. whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
Oh, here he is. Oh, Lord in heaven. Let's see. Yuck.
Look at him. That's a bad.
That is a really. Okay.
He's got a real dopey
priest
face.
With the S&M porn. He. Who does he look like? He's got the face of a wrestler. I will say that. Like, he kind of looks like a. He's got a fluffy head of brown hair. He's got dopey, sleepy eyes. He has those high up, kind of crooked teeth. Oh, now, in that picture, he looks terrible.
Good on you. Good on you for making.
He looks like. He would be asking somebody to blow them at a truck stop.
Good on you for actually making Satan, being an evil Satanist, you know, not a cosplay Satanist.
But bad
like
on
it.
You for being a terrible employee.
Hey, I don't know why you're
Catholic
so judgy.
Church.
I don't know where this judgment is coming from, Tara.
I mean, you know.
I don't know where this judgment is coming from,
he
Tara.
He truly desecrated.
Do you not... support these women, Tara? You
I mean, you know, I think it's a bit, you know, you would hope that people who were into that sort of thing would believe in it as such to protect it and hold it sacred, but clearly this guy just wanted to drink his own piss out of a chalice more than he wanted to uphold
I'm
the sanctity
in.
Of
in.
His own altar, sir.
I am in, and I'm there for it. So he got all his devices back. Maybe he's gonna, you know,
they're
try
wiped.
Again.
He has got to have, look, I'll look more into this, because the guy has got, there has to be more about
this dude,
I feel
like that
would have
come
right?
out, though, in the article.
Yeah, like, people would have, like, released
or
it.
Or would have been, like, he has
a
bunch, you know
I
what I mean?
I checked a few, but they're just now being released, so we'll see.
Well.
Interesting news.
I'm into it. Make Catholicism evil. Make Satan evil. I am here for it. Well, you know, we... didn't have a specific movie that we were going to talk about this week. And like you said, even though the way this podcast has gone, we were never set on it always being revolving around a movie, but it just so happens that most episodes do. And partly that is because we do like to have a central thing to talk about it.
To talk about. So we don't go off the rails talking about priests and,
well, but just to give the yeah. like grounding thing, and then we can talk about other yeah. things. It's just, and it just happens to be movies just are a good thing for that.
Yeah.
But this week we did watch an entire old series, an old 60s TV show. And it was something that we, you know, as you hear us, you know how much we love going back into the past, especially when watching something, because it's just takes you back to another time and transports you. In this case, we were transported underwater. We were transported back to the 60s. And we were transported in the vessel known as Stingray. Stand by for action.
That's right.
So Stingray was a marionette show, a super marionette motion, or I don't know exactly what how you say that, but it was a marionette show filmed in Britain in the 60s, and it just gives a great, strange feel, and this show, you are put in such a strange place when watching this show. It is a great place to be.
Oh, well, I think the super marionation, and much like, oh my God, why am I blanking on Thunderbirds, came after this. This predates the Thunderbirds.
Same crew.
But I find it. This to be so satisfying and relaxing to watch. Like, when you need those things that kind of help you unwind or take you out of the reality, the pragmatism, the mundane, I do find that this does that for me, because... Yeah. They aren't humans, but at times you get confused and think they might be.
Yes.
Just the details involved. So this was not a low budget. Like, I remember as soon as we decided to watch this, and I immediately looked it up, and the budget's like over $1 million budget. The budget's £20,000
per episode. Yeah. So
which is high
well,
budget.
And the thing is, it looks really good. And they had made a show before that was black and white, mm-hmm. but this one was the first one they're doing in full color.
And they had to go and rework all the sets, colorize everything. And, you know, they were, when trying to find a set, they were like, everybody can look into the ocean and wonder about the ocean. And so just the way that this is approached, it's like it's set in the future, but it
2060.
It's set in the future, but it postulates that there are these hidden ocean people that resent land dwellers that have been living down there for a long time and equally progressing in terms of technology. And when they're filming the marionettes, they use like the, I think it was a corner, like a, what is that called? Like a three-sided space that was filled with fish and water so that they could lend the appearance of being underwater. So everything's confusing because you're watching marionettes, then you're watching a sheet of water in front of them. Then sometimes you're watching actual like fake submarines and things being moved through water. So the whole thing is just otherworldly and disorienting.
And the whole time you're seeing the strings. Like there's not really a crazy effort to cover them up. So it also gives this otherworldly feel of like, wait, like you said, like sometimes you're like, they feel real, but I know this is their marionettes and I can see the strings. And I bet I was probably, we haven't watched Fireball XL5 is the show before, and that's in black and white, and maybe that lent itself easier to disguise that. But this being in color, it's harder to hide the things. And they said that that was one of the difficulties, is that, oh, everything's going to be so vivid in the way they filmed it. I mean, it is really vivid.
And it's really vivid, but every place is just such a treat because, like, it is that. It's not the new, like, mid-century drab that people have adopted where everything's, like, beige and avocado green. It's, like, eye-popping mid-century poodles, stuffed poodles, gilded gold, but also with a touch of futurism in it.
I mean,
every room I want to live in, it's unreal.
It definitely has a look of our place in many parts of it are definitely like, oh, yeah, that basically
everything that Atlanta wears, I'm like, I would wear that. Well, would like to wear this. I want to wear Marina. Okay, let's talk about the characters.
That's what I was going to say. Let's settle back and
because
discuss.
Because it is like true like eye candy, just a joy to behold. Like as an adult, you don't need to be a child. Like it's really fantastic and mesmerizing to watch.
Yeah, I do want to say right here at the top is that we are not ones to, you know, watch quote unquote kids stuff that's not necessarily like our go-to ever.
Yeah.
This in no way feels, there's only few moments here and there that in any way feel like this was ever for kids.
But it's kind of like some kaiju, you know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, this is for kids? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in the way that we watch Tokusatsu or some kaiju, that's how we watch this. So I would say if you're like, I'm not going to watch this, this is definitely, let's put it this way. There's a through line throughout the show that almost feels like there's like a three way happening.
Yeah, you feel like you're about to watch a puppet porn. And
so we'll get to it.
They're always drinking, like they're drinking alcohol, they're drinking scotch, they're smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Like puppets smoking cigars, puppets in like, you know, underwater gear smoking cigarettes.
So let me just say here, if you're in the mood for, again, if Tokusatsu, kaiju, perfect analogy, Tara, like if you can get down with that stuff like we do, you could get down with this. And just for the sheer strange otherworldliness of this, I would say I feel safe in saying go ahead and watch this. Now, Tara, let's get down with the characters and the premise of the show.
Oh, am I going to do it? Okay, so the premise of the show is that we have WASP, which is the World
Aquanaut Security Patrol.
So WASP has a vessel that is state-of-the-art. It's called Stingray, and they can take it around, and it goes underwater. It fires missiles. It's basically the fastest, most firepower underwater submarine, and it is captained by Troy Tempest, who is a blue-eyed, he's like a, would you say like a Martin Denny, Elvis type character?
Well, yeah, I mean, every...
Beautiful black hair, beautiful blue eyes.
All the characters...
Slick and thick-jawed.
All the characters were generally based on other actors or sometimes, you know, the people that even voiced them. And so definitely in that leading man type way. And he was voiced by Don Mason.
And the man who voiced, wait, I thought the guy who voiced Troy Tempest also sang Marina, Aquamarina, the end credit song. Isn't that true?
It may be true, Tara. I don't have that in my head right now.
I thought it was true, darling. Well, anyway, we will. You know what? We will sally forth. We will go on. Oh, and this is a British show. However, everybody speaks with Americanized English.
It's not the Queen's English. Everyone speaks American.
They clearly made it for American market, or maybe because the British market liked the American shows. I don't know why they did it. They didn't really provide an explanation as to why everybody speaks with the U.S. dialect. So we have Troy Tempest. We have his boss, who is a grizzly voice, cigar smoking man who's very tough, but unfortunately, due to a former submarine accident, he is now unable to use his legs. So he floats around in a chair, which, again, it took me a while to realize that he was unable to walk because
they all
kind of ride
chairs,
these little floating chairs occasionally. That's how they get to their submarine. So, you know, it took me quite a bit to be like, oh, is that his mobile bridge, you know, such as like Star Trek would have? Or is that kind of like their equivalent of a wheelchair in the future? So it is their equivalent of a wheelchair, and it's his floating bridge. It serves many purposes and many things in here. Part of the joy is that you don't need to make it make full sense. It just has to make as an approximation of something, right? So then we have his first mate, which is Phones, and Phones stands for headphones.
And he kind of has a southern accent.
Phones is really cool. He kind of talks like this, kinda, and he has laid a real, back. He has a real relaxed kind of southern accent.
Seems fine being the kind of second man. Yeah. Troy's like main man. He's like kind of I'm the second man.
But he has like the Kansas City southern, not the like Louisiana southern. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not.
He's like, not like,
fucking
the priest.
Dominatrixes and the.
I mean, Phones might be getting
local
it.
Parish. They hint that Phones might be getting it on time. Look, there, it's a submarine. Shit happens. So then we have the, is he a captain? Is that the guy in the floaty chair?
Yeah,
he's a captain,
he's
right?
Commander Samuel Shore.
Commander Shore, that's right. So Commander Shore's daughter's name is Atlanta, which is a fantastic name for a redhead.
Atlanta's amazing, voiced by the woman who played Moneypenny.
Oh, yeah.
And what's also great is the way he always refers to her, Atlanter.
Atlanter.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Atlanter.
Atlanter. Yeah, he's got a great.
Yeah, so Atlanta is the daughter, and she's the assistant controller. And Marineville is the name of the town they're in.
And in one of their adventures, they encounter a slave girl who they rescue. But she's a mute, but she's a mermaid. She can breathe underwater. She can breathe above water, which, again, sparked many a discussion between Mike and I.
Tara, all right, you jumped so fast. I was like, I thought we were going to just ride the real star of this show, Tara. The way you said that, the camera's slave girl, she can't talk. Tara.
Look, I mean, talking. I know this is going to prompt an extended discussion. Okay,
about
so here.
The star of the show.
The absolute star
Marina.
Of the show.
Marina.
So we have Atlanta, who is a.
She works at the control tower.
She works at the control tower. She does a lot for everybody. She has red hair. I enjoy her outfits. She's helpful, heart of gold, all of those things. But then we introduce another broad into the mix, and that is Alana Coded Mermaid. She is very, I say mermaid. She's not
she
a mermaid.
She does have legs. Yeah,
she's
so
a fish
she's
lady.
Not like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They call them the fish people.
Yeah.
But essentially, she's a woman who has like a blondish kind of seafoam green hair. She can breathe underwater. She has beautiful, stunning eyes, gorgeous bone structure. She wears gowns. She looks like Lana Del Rey, and she's very sad, and she's very quiet. She can't speak. And guess what? She never learns to speak. They try. She never quite learns to speak, but she does join the team.
She is, and the end song.
And she eventually has a pet seal.
And she has the end song.
Marina, Aquamarina.
Yeah, so the of the through line throughout the entire series is that Troy is kind of like into both of the chicks.
And he can't choose. He'd be like, and then basically the end credit song is like, if only you could talk, you would be my lady. But
yeah, the end credit song is like basically him romancing Marina.
So then you think they're going to have like some arc of like, those two together, and they kind of go on dates because Troy goes on dates with both of them at different points.
But what I'm saying is, first of all, how great would it be just to have a silent woman, can't talk, just perfect, just
like,
and Tara, like, what I'm saying is, like,
but she can't holler out when you need to, like, you know, she can't But when Troy Tempest is outside of the submarine, she can't, like, she has to tap on the microphone like this. That's how she communicates with them.
Feel like the three of them could have really, like, worked the situation out. You know what I mean? They could have just really worked out a situation. And it feels like maybe they did.
I'm saying if you have one person on your ship, maybe it's a little dangerous to have that person, somebody who can't communicate with you in any way. Like, she couldn't type. Like, in the future, they don't have typing. She can't write.
So that's why.
And then you're like, hey, can you help me copy? And then she can't copy. Well, that's why I combine Marina and Atlanta. Watch out, there's somebody shooting you.
Just have them both together. And look, a great situation could come from that. And I'm saying,
you're saying, porque no los dos.
I'm saying, why not both? And I fully
I know,
support
I
it. And Marina, she's just the gem of
she's great.
Stingray.
I like when she's she gets happy. The gem you can of tell when she's happy.
Yeah. So her smiling face is great. So one of the things about this show
is the innovations of the marionettes.
There you go, Tara.
Oh, I thought you were going
to
explain.
You seem to be ready to rock it, and
one of the innovations that came about through this program was to have interchangeable heads for the marionettes so that they could have the appearance of smiling or frowning or being sad. So they had more expressions. They don't have that classic, like, dummy, you know, the lines under, like Howdy Doody had those two lines under his chin where their mouth just kind of flops open. These are like soft rubber. So when they speak, it's a little more natural. And then they have one that's like smiling or one that's angry so they can do different close-ups. Or
crying with Atlanta Marina, there's a lot of crying.
Crying so much, they're always crying. So yeah, when Marina's happy, you know, because you get to see her smile. But she's not happy a lot. And I will say that at times, like, I wish I could channel Marina. Like, I'm sure we've all been there in settings where we're just talking and you're like, I wish I could stop talking right now. I wish I wouldn't say anything. But it's like you feel yourself compelled to speak and you just keep speaking. Like, it doesn't apply to this because it would be weird if I didn't speak. If I was going full Marina right now, it wouldn't make any sense because that might be boring. But there's certain situations where I'm like, at times I wish I hadn't said anything. Like, I would like to channel Marina. That seems great.
It led us to the conversation where, of course, ironically, as we're doing a podcast, it would prevent us from doing a podcast. But if you had to take one of your, you know, one of the senses away.
Oh, yes.
Voice.
Sight or hearing. We were like, would you be blind? Would you be deaf? Or would you lose the ability to
speak? Voice, 100%. How great would that be? Just to shut up.
Yeah, I mean, we would lose the ability.
Oh, my God. I would love to shut
Again,
up.
Again, doing a podcast would be more challenging.
Well, we just, you know. We would, but how great would it be just to shut up?
But you could still listen to things and watch things and see things, and you could type. You just
write.
You know, you could be voice to text.
Or you could just shut up.
Or you could just shut the fuck up.
You'd be so nice.
There are days where I'm just like, God, I wish you would just shut up, Tara.
So we have two main bad guys throughout the show. We have Titan.
Yeah, the king of the underwater fishmen.
X-20. Modeled after Peter Lorre, and it is so
great. He talks like Peter Lorre, too.
It is so great. His big, weird eyes.
He's insane. And then he puts on makeup, like, because he's like a silver-green guy, so he'll put on, you know, like fish-colored. And so he'll put on makeup to emulate people and put on a wig, and it's ridiculous. It's great. I love that character.
And then they have their henchmen who talk like gurgly.
They're more fish than man. It's like some of them, I would say they have a lot of diversity in the underwater people. Some of them seem like one of the guys like fucked a fish, you know what I mean? Like, these guys kind of look more like fish. They got stuff growing out of their head, they got gills, they got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
but like this, Mike, I had been thinking it in the beginning, and I don't know why it took most of the series. Like, we had to get through like 30 episodes for us to have a discussion about this, but the thing that I just kept thinking about with the fish people is, like, why do they need to have, like, underwater bubble domes and castles? They can breathe underwater.
But maybe it's for the equipment that they use, that some of it needs to be dry.
It needs to be dry. You can't have wet electronics. That's a great point. And, like, you can't really talk underwater the same way.
Maybe they don't
want to sound stupid. Like,
they have the option to breathe underwater or out of water, and they're like, we're going to take advantage of both.
Yeah, they're going to kind of do both. But, like, the necessity for, like, their submarines just seems different, too. Like, good for them, you know, that they choose to breathe air and live in a civilized way. Let those garbage underwater people, you know what I mean, walking around wet all the time, you know?
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Think what whales would have done if they had chosen to get a little dry land. They might have developed fingers.
Who needs that? So these are.
I love fingers.
These are our main characters in the show. Basically, every episode revolves around one particular mission: someone trying to destroy Stingray or Marineville. And every single episode, spoiler, comes out good for the Stingray crew. But you know, they have some characters, some bad guys are only in it for one episode. Some are recurring, like Titan in X-20.
Yeah.
Some will, you know, reappear. But there is a lot of great, strange episodes. One of my favorites being the Pink Ice episode.
Oh my god!
So. This episode...
So one thing, like, Mike, I just interrupted the shit out of you. I really do apologize. But one kind of through line before Mike discusses this is that sometimes you don't find out the goal of the villain. You don't find out who the villains are.
Totally.
Frequently...
If I want to see the Pink Ice episode, it might be one of those episodes. Yeah that's one. No.
Frequently, Stingray just blows people up. People are like, what's that ship doing here? Get the missiles ready. And they just blow them up. And they're like, what was that?
I kind of like that, though. Yes, and it adds, again, to the strange otherworldly quality of it. A lot of times, it isn't really wrapped up in that you don't actually know what actually happened. It's wrapped up where Stingray wins.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Pink Ice episode, if I'm not mistaken. Now, we didn't take notes or anything, so, you know... Forgive me if I'm getting some things wrong, but the Pink Ice episode is crazy because there's a little globe type thing with spouts, and then it floats up from this thing, goes to the top of the ocean, and then shoots out this pink liquid that then turns into pink ice. And that's pretty much what it does. And it looks crazy.
Yeah, there's just
crazy.
Like some
that's the
weird
thing is-
submarine going around in the ocean, freezing the oceans over with a chemical that turns the top of the ocean into pink ice, and so no ships can sail. And that it's wrecking the ecosystem because they're covering the oceans. And they already covered the Indian Ocean. And they already covered the Atlantic Ocean. And they already covered the Southern Ocean.
And now they're coming for the area around Marineville, which is in North America.
Yeah.
And so they when the ocean gets covered in the ice and then Stingray gets cuts in the ice, gets caught in the ice. And then in order for it to be freed, Marineville has to shoot a missile and Atlanta has to guide that missile and they could blow them up. They're risking it. But it ends up
they got to get them out of the pink ice because they got to catch the vessel that's freezing over the world's oceans because it's going to be catastrophic for the entire world, which it would be. But the crazy thing is in this, we never find out. They just blow the sub up. And
I'm
wait,
pretty sure that one we never find out the motivation or who it is.
Would they want all of the oceans to be frozen over in pink ice? Oh, and then they made a cocktail, remember? Then they at the end of the show, they celebrate by making cocktails for each other, and then they made a pink ice cocktail.
It's so great, and that's one of the another strange thing about the show is every once in a while there'll be inserts with real human hands.
Yeah.
And that one is there's a real human hand holding a pink cocktail. It's like it's called the pink ice.
And then they hand it to each other with human hands, and it's just so but it takes you out of it in this way where you're kind of like, wait, they aren't people. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of feels like they're, you know.
Totally.
They're anthropomorphizing these marionettes really, really well. And their movement's fantastic. You can tell the people who are doing it are incredibly skilled, just like the ice skating episode, the Christmas episode, which is fantastic.
Like, how did they do that?
They made the marionettes look like they were ice skating, and they're ice skating in unison. It looks fantastic, but there's so many things they have them do, even down to like having them swim underwater with like their swim jets. Like that would be crazy too. But these marionettes are smoking and drinking.
They are. They're having chilling. A good time. In fact, they also go
they
to the
parties.
Blue Lagoon, a jazz club where the Wasps, the jazz band, is always jamming away. And there's an episode where a bomb is placed on the jazz man, one of the jazz man's bass, and if he hits the first time the string, it'll explode. So the Wasps are sent down to Marina's where she's from. Cause Marina like goes back home sometimes to visit, you know?
Yeah.
And so they go back down there and they're trying to, Titan wants to blow them up. So in that episode, if the second that the guy hits his string, it's going to blow up. But my thinking behind that episode was when I was watching it, like they're all down there and they're going to set up for the gig. I like the idea that no one warms up before. They just like, well, we've put our instruments on stage and start the show. Like there's no sound check.
Oh, I like the idea that They're like, yeah, bass players, they only use two strings. Sometimes they use this one.
Yeah.
Like, how often is it that, like, a stringed instrument is just like, I never touch that one. That fucker over there, I don't even know why it's on this thing.
But I like that.
That nobody wants.
But I like that, the bachelor pad jazz of it, you know, like, not.
It's got a sleaze to it that you wouldn't expect. And also the first, like, I would say 15 episodes are very, like, tiki. Like,
the
tropical.
Whole thing has a tiki the zone whole thing to it, does, which, of course, we love.
Yeah, but a lot of it, like, lends itself like, I would to, like, play undersea this, mid-century.
I would play this on a screen at our tiki bar, you know, like, definitely. For sure.
100%.
Visually, one I really like.
Actually, we should just do that. Let's play it at the Mermaid. Why couldn't we?
The Mermaid.
Why don't we
Marina.
Fucking do that? I would do it. Well, maybe I should.
Maybe that's what we'll do at the next...
Literally didn't Surf occur to dead. Me. God damn
I was
it.
Thinking like of our fantasy one that we opened just for
yeah the one that
just
we
for us
invent
and the
all
listeners
the time.
Of underground espionage.
Anytime we go somewhere like a place or something, we'd be like, and that's where the bar goes. That's where we're doing this. We redesigned the whole thing,
which we just did the
it's
other day.
It's great. Yeah. We just did yesterday.
Yeah, but been yeah. Plotting. So maybe that's be the next Surf and Ed we'll have.
Oh my God, we have to. That'll be really fun.
As you will.
I think that would be really pleasant.
Yeah,
that's lovely. It's aesthetic. We'll, it's great.
Okay. We'll do it. So the one there's one where they do end up on like a tropical island that's amazing, but there's another one where this giant oyster, this pearl,
oh my God.
Is the theme
it's
of
a
the episode.
Pearl.
That's one of the greatest visual episodes.
Really good.
It's this great, just bright colors where this giant oyster is with this giant pearl. And that's a big one. Marina comes
and
in.
And it's a big
day.
Cursed pearl, and it has the cursed pearl guardian whatever they are crabs little colorful bits and then they kind of go around and avenge the pearl should it ever be taken from the sacred giant clam.
Yeah, the secret of the giant oyster is the name of that episode. That
they
was
call it an oyster but it looks like a clam. Look,
that's one of my favorite episodes for sure. I really liked the there's a strange one
have
called
you ever shucked an oyster, Mike?
I mean, I've eaten oysters.
Have you ever shucked it though?
I don't believe
that
so
shit though. Is hard.
There's another strange episode called Tom Thumb Tempest where Tom Tempest falls asleep, and then this is another really weird looking one because in the whole episode they're in like a human room. So
oh yes,
right.
It's
so
weird.
So the marionettes are like the size they probably are.
Yes,
but it's
going
like,
around people's house. Look, it's a
really
nice really living
weird,
room.
Living room, dining room.
I want to live there.
Yeah, and. The whole time, I mean, and then because they pop out of a aquarium, and it's Atlanta. I can't remember if Marina's in that one. It's Atlanta, Phones and Troy.
Yeah,
that one's so strange looking.
It's all very strange, but it's a nice little alternative world to go to.
I really like.
Oh well, I want to talk about the gold one from last night.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because... Yes. Yeah. Please.
Because it's like one of those things like I love, much like being, okay, so.
The Golden Sea is the episode.
Yeah, the Golden Sea. You know, I enjoy when there is something in the world that takes you to, like being inspired by modern stories and things you hear to create like a film, like a movie, like the concept of like the rural family in Texas Chainsaw. Inspired by a real story. Nothing about that story is what happened. However, your imagination can take it and run with it, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I think that is something like the concept of there being microscopic particles of gold in seawater that's always been brought up. And if only, you know, people will say, but if only we could harvest it from the minerals that have been dissolved in seawater, then you could be rich. And so, you know, again, that's what makes sci-fi kind of come back to our reality. Like sci-fi is not just dejective humanhood or unrelatable to what we do, but sci-fi is like this, like, what if these things could happen that we, you know, what if we could teleport? You know what I mean? Like, and that's the fun of just imagining our reality should these things happen. And this has that if we could take ocean water and convert it to gold, we'll all be rich. All we have to do is have this station. We've made this vast advancement for all of humankind.
And in it, they do, right? They're able to do it in the episode.
And they just literally did it. And you think it's going to be a hoax or whatever. And they're like, nope, we're making millions here. We got all this gold. But the problem is that, you know, the underwater Titan King is like, well, yeah, if somebody's going to get the gold out of the ocean, it's certainly not going to be you. It's going to be me. Damn you, Troy Titan.
I like
Troy Tempest.
Troy Tempest. I like X-20's house on the, like, it's like a house on the, like a cliff on by the ocean, and it's like a normal old.
It's like Norman Bates' house.
And then, but then he hits a button, and then everything turns into like his
so
futuristic.
Cool. God, I love his
house.
I
love that
one.
Love the Loch Ness Monster episode when they go to Scotland. Yeah. That one's great. And like,
But Mike, the cool thing that I was trying to tell you about last night, and you were like, I don't want to hear this now because I don't want you to talk over the show. Can you just tell me tomorrow during the podcast?
Sorry,
so now I get to tell you. I've been waiting.
I was talking over you. Tara, go.
Waiting. No, you can talk over me. But I've been waiting all this time because do you know, Mike, that in Australia, you can tell if there's gold in the ground by analyzing the leaves of eucalyptus trees.
Okay, really?
Eucalyptus roots are so deep that they can tap into mineral fissures. And as the trees are, you know, absorbing nutrients, they can absorb gold. And the gold, you can analyze and see actual gold particles within the leaves of the eucalyptus. And then if there's gold in there, there generally is a gold mine under the tree.
Very
cool. So that
is
one weird backwards ass way to look for gold. And then, like, it's fun to think about, like, you know, people are like, what if we could harvest all the leaves and get all the gold out of the leaves? And then I'm like, what if you harvest all the koala poop and get all the gold out of the koala poop?
Well, look, what
like,
if we
harvest?
Like,
there's so many, like, crazy alchemical, like,
I'm down for the ocean
mad
harvesting.
Ideas for getting gold.
I think we should figure that out because we saw it happen on,
yeah,
in our,
seems
our
like
eyes.
A lot of work. I mean, look, part of, you know, who we are and just, like, you have to, like, recognize your limitations and what you like and what you don't like at a certain point. And we do not like going under the ocean. We don't want to go out and lose sight of the shore on the ocean. I don't want to be in a submarine. I don't want to scuba dive. You know, my family members, I have two certified, like, scuba captains in my family. I don't care. I don't want to go. I barely like to snorkel. It's not our thing. You know, so I don't think we're going to be harvesting any gold out of the ocean, Mike, because we don't want to go out in the ocean.
No, I'm totally agree with that. But yeah, as I was saying, another great episode is the Loch Ness Monster one. Of course, you know, thinking of Third Organ.
Thinking
of Loch Ness Monster.
Loch Ness Monster.
And, you know, good old Nessie. Thinking of Nessie.
Good old Nessie. Yeah, and the premise in that one is that generations ago, people had designed a... I guess this is kind of like a steampunk Loch Ness Monster. And then they rolled it out, you know, for the tourism. So they don't want to, like, you know, mess up old Nessie's deal. So they have to, like, because they sent Lord in Heaven. What are you looking at?
Looking at episode.
I forget the name of Stingray. They sent Stingray out into Loch Ness to look for Nessie. And then they found her.
Yes.
She was clockwork.
I was looking through the names of the episodes to look at them. No one can see us. I know you think that, but when I'm doing that, you can just also not say anything, and then no one will know that I was looking through.
I want you to pay attention.
This is a through line for years and years of us doing this, right?
But I lost my train of thought because I was like, what are you looking at? And then I was like, who cares about this clockwork Loch Ness Monster? What are you looking at?
I care about it. I lost
interest because I was like, ooh, what are you looking at?
I was looking at the other episodes.
It's like when you see somebody like opening a bag of some snack food and you're like, you can't even think. You're like, what do you got?
Did you like when they were...
You hear them behind you like rustling around.
Did you like when all the guys were cavemen for Halloween?
Oh my God, that was great. When everybody had to... Because Atlanta was having a dress-up party and everybody had to pick what they were wearing and none of the men wanted to dress up because they thought it was silly. And then Troy Tempest had a dream about cavemen, and so he came. And then all the guys apparently had a dream about cavemen. They all dressed up like cavemen, and they were in animal skins carrying clubs. And, well, Troy Tempest had arrows. It was great.
Yeah, no, look, this is a great time to go to another world to go underwater. And again, I do like the vibe. As much as I don't want to go underwater, I do like the vibe of underwater. I'm fearful of the ocean.
No, I like looking at it. I just don't want to be in it. I want other people to do it so that I can, like, I love watching. My favorite going to sleep are, like, deep sea, David Attenborough, deep ocean, all of that. It's fantastic. It feels so safe and floaty and dark and wonderful and cold.
I like the idea.
Oh, I love it so much. It's fascinating. The creatures of the ocean, the deep sea. Oh, my God. I like to just hear the, like, Weddell seals, like, under the ice, just, like, making insane feedback noises and, you know, checking out some strange jellyfish. I love that shit.
And we should say, you know, love the opening theme song, and as we've already said, love the credit song, the Aquamarine. Some of the opening theme song has this great anything can happen in the next half hour. I love Sting that
bay. Yeah, Stingray, Stingray. Yeah, it's great. It's exactly what you think. It's so hype. Like, that theme song is so hype, you're like, whoa,
great.
It's very exciting.
Just a great atmosphere to end the day with, as we always say. That's what this kind of stuff's for, to end the day with. It's not, you know, and it zips by. And like you said, every episode, you know, it always ends well. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry too much about it. But there, you know, throughout, there are some great, just strange twists and turns that are unexpected.
It's a very insensitive time, it's great to see. It's great. You're like, who's that ship over there? I don't know. Arm the missiles. They just blow them up.
And again, watch it.
Blow up first, ask
really
questions
understand
later.
Understand how great it would be just to have just a silent woman just around. You know, that's a beautiful, silent fish.
I love Marina.
Yeah,
she's
the best.
Good.
She is the best. She is definitely
She finds her ways to communicate.
She is the star of the show.
I kept thinking she would learn to speak, though. I thought she would do like a, I think Splash ruined me. Like, whenever, you know, he was like, can you speak in your language? And she's like, you know, and she starts making those crazy dolphin sounds. I thought that's kind of what Marina might do.
I'm so glad that she never does learn to speak. And speaking of mermaids, it does lead into what our next interview is looking to be. So I'll just leave it at that. There is a through line here. We're not totally just insane. Just slightly.
Moderately. Just slightly.
Well, thank you so much, listeners. New listeners, welcome aboard. I know we definitely got a bunch of people writing from the Tim Ritter episode. Sweet. So,
and I hope somebody gets inspired by this screwworm outbreak. The screwworms coming to the U.S. I think it would make great SOV, like, be good DIY project to do something about the invasion of the screwworms. I hope somebody
invasion. We're putting
like
it
that.
Out there.
You know, first they get the cattle, then they start screwing into your brain. Maybe that they could be kind of like, you know, something that like takes over your brain rot disease, and then people start acting like crazy zombies. I don't know, something lovely like that.
I love it. We're putting it out there. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.